Fourscore and 7 years ago, three best friends brought forth, upon this internet, a new podcast, conceived in passion and dedicated to the proposition that all gamers are created equal. Of course, apart from those of you who need to get good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 268 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined online by Jacob Alka.
Garrett, hello, good morning, and thank you for that intro. That's beautiful.
Absolutely, Jacob. It's my honor, privilege, and thrill to share with the world that this podcast is indeed 7 years old. I hope you enjoyed the riff off of the Gettysburg Address by our own Abraham Lincoln. This is an American podcast that we share with planet Earth, and we are grateful for all of you who have tuned in over all this time. I thought it was crazy when we reached our one-year milestone, but 7 years, it just goes to show how quickly life passes us by, and glad we've made it this far. Still love doing it when we can. We apologize for the delay over the last couple of weeks, but we're happy to be back, and Jacob, I'm very happy to see you.
Yes, great to see you.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Bring me up to speed.
Like usual, I've been working a ton lately, to the point where it made doing the podcast last week kind of difficult. And then we were going to do it on Thursday, and we both decided that we should probably wait since Elden Ring was coming out that night, and we would prefer to have our fresh thoughts on the episode as opposed to, you know, waiting another week or two, perhaps. Have any thoughts on the game. And by that point, people might not even be talking about it anymore. So,
yeah, I'd say it was a wise call on our end.
Yeah. I've been good.
That's good. How are your knuckles doing?
They're doing better. They're still a little, so they, sometimes they're more swollen. Sometimes they're just, they almost seem normal. I'm actually going to a specialist on March 23rd. That was the earliest that I could get an appointment at this place. So that day, hopefully I will know for sure what is wrong with my hands. but it hasn't been to the point where I couldn't play games or anything like that.
Because as we know, that would be a true tragedy.
It'd be devastating.
You couldn't play games.
But I've had really zero pain since like a month ago. So while they might be getting swollen sometimes, like especially after I work out, like they'll be really red. But I've started wearing gloves to sort of combat that, and it's been helping.
Are these fingerless gloves or like full-on gloves?
Yeah, they're just like fingerless gym gloves that you see people wear.
Nice.
I don't like wearing them. I think they look goofy, but you know. Doing it anyway.
Well, just think of it like an RPG. You acquired new gloves out of like a treasure chest, and you've equipped them. They've given you like plus four grip strength. Yeah, plus two grip strength as you're pumping iron. So
exactly,
it's not a total loss.
But yeah, I feel like they're doing better. And that might be because it's getting warmer outside. But I've noticed that my palms are just really red a lot now.
I
think I'm having a issue of blood getting to my hands. So that's usually what happens when blood can't get to something. It gets red. So we'll see what the doc says.
I'm sorry I have to wait that long to see the specialist.
Nah, it's okay. I'm able to live my life normally outside from the gloves. So.
Well, that's good. I'm still praying for you. I hope it heals sooner than later. As you know, it sucks having to deal with even like a minor thing like that can be frustrating after a while.
For sure. It's something that I think about a lot too, but you know. Things aren't bad. Things are fine.
That's good. Well, thank you for the update, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on in your life?
We're going to see a movie this next week, aren't we?
Yeah, something we're very much looking forward to.
I really am.
Jacob and I, and as of right now, Preston's still coming with us. We're going to see The Batman, the fan first screening on IMAX, on March 1st. And I couldn't be more excited. It is easily my most anticipated movie of the year.
Definitely.
And, of course, my favorite, I mean, you could call him a superhero, but just comic book character as Batman. And I think toward the end, we should do like a brief discussion on why we're excited, why I love Batman. I'm not going to bore everyone with my passion of Batman at the top of the episode. But yeah, we're very excited to see that on Tuesday.
I thought you were going to say... They're going to say some call him a superhero. I call him a friend. Like something yeah. stupid. Like that.
I call him Papa. Yeah.
But yes, we are going to see that. And actually took the day on Tuesday to make sure that I could make it to that showing.
Oh, that's great. That's a good call.
And on Wednesday, I also took another day because I wanted to go see my brother. But that way I can go see the movie and not have to get up in the morning on Wednesday. So,
yeah.
So nice. I got a couple of days off to look forward to this week. What else is new? I actually don't think there's too much new. I've literally been spending all my time playing new games, and it's been a great feeling because the last probably 6 months, I haven't really played any new games. Like late 2020, like I wasn't, or 2021, I mean, I wasn't really playing any new games for the most part. Like I just had a big drought of things that I wanted to play. So it's been extremely refreshing to hit 2022 and have like Pokemon Arceus and, you know, Horizon came out, which I haven't touched yet. I know you've played a pretty good portion of it and you have some thoughts to share. And I've been playing Lost Ark, which has been incredibly fun. I jumped back into WoW, their newest expansion, and it's been just okay. But, you know, it's been fun. It's been nice to jump back in. Honestly, the best part about jumping back into WoW is talking to old guildmates and people I haven't spoken to in probably around 4 months. So that's been nice. Ran a couple dungeons with them. So we'll see if we're going to get the gang back together and push some dungeons this season. The season will start next week, next Tuesday. So actually this Tuesday when this comes out. So who knows? I might keep playing that. I might not. We'll see. And then, obviously, we've been playing Elden Ring, which we're both excited to talk about, I think.
Heck yeah, brother. Got a lot to say about mini games this week. Yes. So
yeah, I see that you have mini games on here.
Yeah, as usual. I think before we jump into, of course, what we've been playing and break all that down, I think it's, I feel like it's appropriate to just address and acknowledge what's going on in Ukraine right now.
Yes.
We typically refrain from really discussing anything like political or world news on this podcast because we think of it like video games, honestly, like an escape, just like kind of get away from the world for a little bit. But I think it's just such a, I'm trying to use the correct vocabulary. Like obviously it's drastic, but it's tragic. And there are many subjects to really discuss around the conflict that's happening there, but it's big enough to the point where I think it should absolutely be acknowledged. It's just a weird feeling over the last week when I'm working or I'm playing a game, or even yesterday when I was working with like a ton of people in a very joyous, fun place. And then just thinking in the back of my mind, like what's going on over there is just the weirdest feeling.
Yeah.
Especially because this is one of the first wars that's unfolding in real time, like before our eyes. Like there's just so many outlets to see what's happening there. Yeah. Obviously we can't get the full scope without actually being there, but it's just crazy to watch it unfold. And I won't even remotely pretend like I fully understand the conflict on either side. Mm. Ultimately, it's remarkably tragic what's happening there. Just the loss of life, the destruction of that country. And in addition to that, it's incredible to see the acts of courage and heroism and bravery from not just the leadership, which in and of itself is incredible, of Ukraine, but their army and even their citizens. And I've heard, you know, mixed reports and like citizens being dragged into defending the nation against their will, which is also sad. But at the end of the day, seeing a nation fight to defend themselves so courageously is just one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that it's real is what's most incredible about it.
Yeah.
So I've had like mixed emotions about it all week, just seeing like dark stories, sad stories, destruction, but also these just incredible acts of courage are just so beautiful to witness. So of course I've been praying for the conflict as a whole. I mean, I know a lot of people have, and just hoping that apparently the latest news is that talks will happen between Russian leadership and Ukrainian leadership in the near future. And I'm not even going to down the rabbit holes of like, what's next after this? And like, could it escalate? God forbid it doesn't escalate, but hopefully it concludes sooner than later. And the world can begin healing from this. It's just, I think one of the craziest things to see is almost unanimously the world coming together in support of Ukraine against not even Russia, just Putin essentially.
Yeah.
It's just wild. And This is something I've thought about for years at this point, ever since COVID started, like COVID and then political disagreements, especially in the United States, but even the world over at this point. So many different things that have divided this country and so many different things that have divided the world. I think everyone knew this, and some people would even talk about it, that when the world and nations reach these points, it takes a remarkable event on the planet to bring everyone together again. And I think a classic example of that, not that the United States was necessarily truly divided before 9/11, but 9/11 kind of revived this country just toward unity and putting aside our differences to come together in support of one another. Mm-hmm. But to see that on a global scale with what's happening in Ukraine and seeing the world come together to support them however they can, whether it's financially, even at the very least prayer, supplying arms for them to defend themselves is just, it's just the craziest thing to see, dude. Like, I cannot believe what we're witnessing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm kind of just going off on all different directions right now. It's just, it's a lot to like kind of wrap your mind around, but I thought it was important that we address that before we just like, oh, let's talk about video games, dude. Like, whatever, we're fine over here.
I agree. I'm glad you brought it up.
So
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I think the most crazy thing to me is like, so I'm on TikTok maybe once a night, and I'll be on there for maybe 30 minutes.
Man, you got a lot of self-control, Jacob. I'm impressed.
I don't know. I'm using TikTok, so but it's crazy to me because I think this is like really the first war, if we're calling it a war. I don't know if it's a war yet, if we're gonna really put a label on it. It's more like an invasion, if anything. But it's crazy seeing an actual conflict play out on social media. Like, I'm seeing all these videos that could be fake. I have no way of knowing that. But like, I'm seeing just all these different videos of all these Ukrainians just shooting these videos, and just like, you see jets just flying over buildings, like not very high up from them. Like, they're right there in the buildings. Like, they're like right here. Buildings like up here. Like, they're just whoosh. And like, you just see all these tanks running over cars. And like, it's unfathomable to believe, like, just seeing this happen in real life through these videos. It really just, and I just was starting to think like, wow, have we ever really seen something like this on social media? And like, and it got me thinking, is every war going to be like this now? Like, how important is it going to be to control the narrative on social media if you can control the narrative, how does that control the populace's opinion of how things are going, and if like they even think we should be in a war? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's insane. And one interesting outlet I've had to what I truly believe is actual news is a filmmaker that my boss has known for a long time and who I've also worked with a few times now lives in Detroit, Michigan. And he's traveled the world filming all kinds of different projects. So he's had friends in Ukraine over the years. And he has one contact there who's been feeding him information in real time. And he's been posting all this stuff to a story. And he and his wife built their own bomb shelter and have witnessed firsthand just all this craziness that's going on over there. So he's sharing information that's very much in line with a lot of what's been shared on like national news outlets. But it's been wild to hear it from someone who's on the ground living through it in real time.
Yeah.
And one of the craziest things that really doesn't matter that much, but I just thought was kind of wild, is that this filmmaker I know reached out to Michael Bay, the director of Transformers, and had previously thanked him for filming in Detroit, because a lot of the Transformers movies were filmed in Detroit. But he shared his contact in Ukraine's video that he sent him of he and his wife in their bomb shelter giving them information. And he sent it to Michael Bay saying, like, this is a long shot, but if you're willing to share this man's story, it's captivating and encouraging and scary. But you just know with your audience, I think it's worth sharing. And Michael Bay responded to him.
That's awesome.
On social media.
That's awesome.
I don't know where it went after that, but I just thought it was crazy that he responded to him. But anyway, there's a lot to unpack there. But ultimately, for now, I just wanted to acknowledge it before we continued. So,
and as of right now, I don't know how it will be on Monday when this goes up, but the Capitol is still being held. Russia hasn't taken the capital. So,
mm-hmm.
And I've heard reports that Russians are getting discouraged, or Russian leaders are getting discouraged. The actual troops are getting annoyed. So,
yeah, I have read that as well.
It's really hard to know if that's true or if it's just propaganda. I don't know, but I'm hoping for the best for the people of Ukraine.
I don't know if anyone on this podcast has listened to this podcast over the years is Ukrainian.
I don't think
or even
so.
Lives in Ukraine, because we can see our analytics. I haven't looked at them in a long time, but I can't recall anyone from Ukraine specifically reaching out. But even just anyone in neighboring European countries, I'd be fascinated to hear from you, your perspective on all this.
Yeah,
because we're just
like if you live in Poland, have you seen refugees come in? Mm-hmm. You know, like anything like that.
I mean, it's crazy. The world has just progressively gotten wilder over the last few years. Mm-hmm. So
it really has.
Yeah, we're praying for everyone over there, everyone who's even remotely been affected by that. So, and we're just two American dudes talking about games on the internet in Georgia.
Yeah.
So that's all we can really say for now.
Mm-hmm.
So
very thankful to be where I am, though.
Same. Yeah, very much. Very thankful for that. So.
I try to remind myself of that anytime I'm discouraged or feeling down. Like, I think it's really nice to just put yourself in perspective of where I was born at, and I get to
Absolutely.
Be born in this country. Mm-hmm. It's just nice.
Yeah, there are so many things that I have to battle to not take for granted daily, and not just living in the United States, just life in general. I mean, mm-hmm. there are people fighting for their lives and their freedom in Ukraine right now, like men and women and children with weapons.
Yeah.
And here we are just talking about video games, just shakes me to my core sometimes.
Yeah. And it's all just because that's where they happen to be born. They didn't control any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they weren't born in Ukraine, but you know, they were born on that side of the world. Maybe they came from Russia. And that's another thing I wanted to say. A lot of these people in Ukraine have family in Russia. So it's mm-hmm. and their own family is, because a lot of Russians, you know, they're being fed what their government is telling them. And they're mm-hmm. this is a good thing that we're taking over Russia. So a lot of Russians are under that impression. So
it's also crazy to see the courage from the Russian people protesting against their own government. And then many of them being arrested in the thousands.
Yeah. 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 Crazy. I saw some clips of that too, but yeah, it's scary.
So I know it's such a cliche that many people probably hate to hear, but I firmly believe in my heart and soul that at the end of the day, God is in control of all of this. It's a shame what's happening, but I mean, it says in scripture, and I've found this to be true in my life time after time after time again, that he can take all things and turn them into good. Evil acts, cruel acts, tragedies, and bring good out of them. So it's terrible what's happening. And like I said, God forbid it escalates, but at the end of the day, there will be good that comes of this ultimately. So I firmly believe that. But just right now, Ukraine and that portion of Russia or Europe is in crisis. So we're hoping and praying for the best outcome as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, didn't want to take us down a dark path, but one that I felt was absolutely worth acknowledging. Anyway, Jacob, let's jump into what we've been playing. Hit me, Jacob. I know you talked about what you've been playing, but break down what you really want to talk about each of these. We'll talk about Elden Ring last together.
I agree. Okay, first things first. Jumped into WoW 9.2. It is officially the last content patch of the expansion. It's obvious to tell that they've really struggled with creating new content from home during COVID. And they've never had patch cycles this long in a very long time. I guess I shouldn't say never if it's been a long time. But it's gotten to the point where we've had to wait so long between content cycles that it's pretty hard for them to ever really satisfy us because we've had to wait so long. You know what I mean? Usually the content that they've made in this patch would be good and exciting, but because we've had to wait for so long, it doesn't quite sit as well. You're this is all we're getting, you know? But what we have been able to play so far has been fine. I'm enjoying the new zone. That's all we can really... So they're kind of releasing it in cycles. This coming next week, the actual season will start, and there'll be the new raid dungeons, PvP season. So that's when the real stuff will start. But in terms of right now, we've been able to the first three chapters of the new story. explore a new zone and sort of just get associated with new systems. So it's been kind of fun just jumping back in, seeing how things are, talking to new people or old people that I used to talk to. And I'm kind of just taking a casual approach to it. So it's been kind of nice in that way. But other than that, what I really want to talk about is Lost Ark. So this is a game that sort of just kind of snuck up on me. Like, I knew about it, but I wasn't really intending on even playing it. I really didn't want to even play it until I saw a couple of people play it online. And I started watching them. And I was like, wow, this is actually, this looks really fun. And the combat looks amazing.
Like, wow, this isn't wow.
Exactly. It's not wow. I'm playing it. But obviously, anyone that knows the game, it's very much like Diablo 3 or Path of Exile. It's very much a top-down, third-person, isometric game. But it's an MMO. Like, it's not a RPG. Well, I guess it is an RPG in some ways, but it's an MMO, first and foremost. So that means that there's a whole leveling 1 to 50. There's 15 different classes that you can pick from. There's like five main classes, and then there's like, they branch out into all these little subclass paths. So really it's 15 classes. The world is expansive. It's huge. Like, it's a lot bigger than I ever thought it would be. And especially when you unlock your boat at like level 30, I think it is. And then you just start sailing to different continents. Like, you really start to like unravel how big the world is. And I've only been to like maybe six places, and there's just the map is huge. So I haven't even explored a fraction of this game yet. But I've gotten to level 50. I'm at max. Well, it's not max level. It's like the soft cap. It's soft cap is 50. And then you can get to 60 eventually through some sort of means. I haven't figured that out yet, but, I've unlocked like my awakening skills, which are like abilities you get at level 50 that make your class even funner to play. I've started doing some in-game systems like Chaos Dungeons, Guardian Raids, Abyssal Dungeons. So, and these are all just like different forms of gameplay at the end game to gear your character. And it's like a slow grind. Like, you can do two Chaos Dungeons a day for loot. Like, you can keep doing them, but you won't get any loot. So there's no point to keep doing it. Then I think you can do one Guardian Raid every day. I can't quite remember. I've only tried to do one a day. And then I'm not sure about the Abyssal Dungeons because I haven't done that yet. But so I'm in this place called Vern, and it's like the zone where you start unlocking all the in-game systems. It's like the last questing zone, or in tier one, I guess. I'm pretty sure. And I think like the best part is like the quests, like the story is kind of like telling you how to play the in-game. And I sort of like that because it's walking you through it. But I think really the main thing in this game that is just incredible to me is how fun it's to play. It's making me want to play a Diablo 4 so badly, or even try Path of Exile, as daunting as that game seems to me sometimes, because of how, because that game has so many systems and it's so complicated and has like reoccurring seasons. So it's really making me want to try one of those kind of games. But Lost Ark's really filling that void for me right now, or that itch to sort of play an MMO. And it's just nice to have a game where I want to grind, and and it's something that I want to be a part of, as opposed to like World of Warcraft, where it's just like there's barely any content coming out anymore. It's just kind of, I've been playing the same thing for so long that it's just kind of, I want something new. So it's been nice to play this. It really has. I decided to level up a Shadow Hunter, which is one of the assassin classes. And I really enjoy the play style. It's not too challenging. I feel like the rotations are pretty simple. But yeah, I haven't really tried the PvP at all. I've sort of like decided to skip that for now, and maybe I'll touch it here in the next month or so. We'll see. But really just enjoying gearing up my character right now, and sort of just now touching the end game of what Lost Ark has in store. But if anyone else is playing Lost Ark, please let us know, because I'm just having so much fun with it. And I love talking about it in Discord too. I know Bojangles Kyle has been playing a ton, like an absolute ton. I think he has two max level characters. Dang. And the great thing about when you hit max level is that you get like a free boost for an alt. So you can just boost any other class that you want to play. And I think once you get that alt to level 50, or well, it was already level 50, but once I think you hit a threshold, like a certain gear score, I think you get another boost. So they give you two boosts. So you can have a total of three characters at max level, like very quickly, which is really nice. And alts are actually a big part of this game because they can feed gear and materials into your main, whoever you want that to be, and you can gear them up quicker. So it's kind of cool in that way. Like the devs are encouraging you to play more characters to gear up faster, which is cool. And I think that's healthy for the game because, you know, it keeps people not just getting on doing their dailies and logging off. You know, maybe they'll do their dailies and then they'll jump onto another character and do the same thing. So it just keeps more people playing for longer. But I'm just having so much fun with the game. Maybe I haven't done a good job of really describing what the game is or what it's about, but I mean, the story's kind of hit or miss. Like it has its moments, but it's kind of just stupid and dumb, but, I've enjoyed parts of it. It's been fun. But, Garrett, have you played it at all? I think you might've played it.
Yeah. I've played all the way through the tutorial and a couple of, like side quests after the tutorial.
Okay.
I'm playing as like a dead gunner or dead slinger, or like I just the two Deadeye. Handguns. Deadeye. That's what it is.
Yeah. I almost picked that class. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I'm in a Deadeye, and I can totally see how cool the game is. Just gameplay wise, is pretty cool. Obviously, there's a lot of like MMO tropes squeezed in there because it's not like a brand new game. It's been around for a while, but
it's new to this region.
Yeah, I've enjoyed playing what little I have played. So I'm too distracted by, of course, Elden Ring, Horizon, and other games like that. But I'll probably go back to it at some point.
Yeah,
but I can't say much apart from I think it looks gorgeous. I think the art design's really cool. Gameplay's solid. You got like that Diablo action in an MMO. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It does have some pay-to-win elements, which I think is worth mentioning. But it's they're really only pay-to-win quicker. It's not really like, I mean, you can buy resources basically, and what you need to level up your gear and make it better. But these. It's all things that you can do in the game too. Like you just get them slower. So I think that's worth mentioning. So you can definitely spend a pretty penny on the game if you wanted to, and you would just be done with the game quicker. And there's some cool stuff on the store too, like mounts and pets and stuff, but you don't need that stuff. But I haven't paid a single cent. So it's been fun to play as a free to play player, and it's free. It's completely free. If anyone wants to try it, I think it's only on PC.
I'd say if, you have access to play it, definitely try it.
Just see if you like it.
It's a cool game.
Lots of different classes to try.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely did my due diligence and researched each one of them before I picked.
Yeah.
So there were a few in there that I was really interested in, but I thought Deadeye was kind of cool. It's kind of a mix of, I can't remember what sold me, but it reminded me of my Demon Hunter in Diablo 3, but with guns. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went with it.
Nice. Yeah.
What else have you been playing, Jacob?
That's all I've been playing besides Elden Ring.
That's it. Wow. Really getting your RPG action on across the board. Well, as of recently, I've been playing a lot of games, bouncing between them. Of course, now that Elden Ring's upon us, I'll be focusing on that primarily for the foreseeable future. But I have played more Infinite. I played that at least a few times a week with Zach. And we always have a good time. Still extremely rough around the edges. Very much, I wouldn't say in a dire place, but a far from great place. Still got a lot of work to do on that game, but at the end of the day, core gameplay is still a good time, so we're having fun. I clocked at least a dozen hours in Hunt Showdown right up until Horizon came out. Oh, I just caught the bug again, dude, and just had the absolute time of my life. I played every day for like 3 hours in the evenings when I had time. That game is just immaculate to me. It's so much fun. So really enjoyed that, of course. And just what I love about the game is that every single match is relatively unpredictable. You have a different experience every time. Sometimes it's awful, as in like you just immediately get killed, and then other times you just go on this grand adventure for up to an hour sometimes, going after these bosses, escaping, getting in insane gunfights, and just fighting for your life in some of these situations are just an absolute blast every time. Mm-hmm. That's what just keeps me coming back. the unpredictability of each match and like what could happen is the thrill ride that you experience every time. In addition to Hunt, I know I'd mentioned this on the previous episode that I was going to give Tarkov a try. And I'm not going to go too in depth on this because Tarkov is a very deep game to unpack. But I will say, I think it's awesome. Really, really into it. I think it's so sick. By far the most hardcore shooter I've ever played in terms of just what it demands of the player, the difficulty, the nuances, the depth of not just weapons alone, but your individual character and how you can upgrade them and the point of the game. Very interesting to me, and I've loved playing it. That being said, I've had my ass kicked the entire time. I have not had one successful raid. I've really enjoyed it every time. Now, I do understand how the game works, and I watch so many tip videos and tutorials, so my mind is very much wrapped around how to succeed in the game. I'm just still getting used to that flow and that gameplay loop, and of course, learning the maps, learning what weapons are best and ammunition types, blah, 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 blah. But I've loved it, dude. It's a very, very cool game, so... I haven't played it much since, of course, these new games came out, but I'll definitely go back to it from time to time and do my best to succeed. I think my biggest problem is I don't have a cooperative partner to go into the game with, because many of the PvP encounters I have are with multiple people and I always get slaughtered. So I'm not good enough at the game to really prevail in those two-on-one situations, but in spite of that, I've had a great time playing it, so it's a cool game. Yeah, we mentioned Lost Ark. I've also started playing Old Republic again with Zach.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, dude, we've had a heart for this game for a long time. We started playing it 10 years ago together when we had just graduated high school. And we probably played over 100 hours initially in that game. And that's the thing. It's a very generic.
It's very much like MMO for the most part. And like a lot of how it plays and like even the combat is a lot like WoW.
It's extremely dated, don't get me wrong. The only compelling aspect of it is that Zach and I get to live that fantasy of being Jedi together, going on missions around the galaxy. And even the dialogue is pretty cool in co-op, or both of you have the option to respond simultaneously to conversations. So that's pretty cool. Looks really good on max settings on PC. I mean, it's obviously like more of a cartoony art style, but I think the game looks great. It runs beautifully. So, I mean, we're not playing that every night of the week, like grinding for hours, but we'll jump in and play a couple hours for fun here and there.
Does Zach have a way to play it now, I'm assuming?
Yeah, he bought this subscription software that basically runs Windows on his MacBook Pro. Oh. So he pays a small fee to run the game through that.
Nice. They still haven't brought it to Mac.
No, dude, I was amazed. I could have sworn in my life when I was told him, when he mentioned he wanted to get back into it. I'm like, oh yeah, dude, I'm sure it's on Mac by now. I mean, 10 years have gone by. But in reality, obviously, the player base is extremely small. I'm surprised they're still putting DLC out for the game after all this time. Mm-hmm. Cool little game, not playing it a ton, but living that Jedi fantasy. But one thing I wanted to mention that got me thinking about Star Wars again, of course, and playing that was the Fallen Order sequel. I think we had mentioned last week, Fallen Order 2 is in development. I got to thinking of how much fun it would be. This will never happen, by the way. This is just a fantasy I have. Is if you want to keep Cal Kestis in the game, have him be the leader, which was basically emphasized at the end of the first game, either starting a new Jedi Order or leaving it up to the Force to determine where these Force-sensitive children would end up. But I think it'd be cool if they flash forward like 10 years and Cal Kestis is leading like a small sect of Jedi students, not even massive like the true Jedi Order, maybe like 10 or 15 students. And you get to create your own Jedi character and he's your master, and that gives you a whole new reason to level up. But that character is your own because, they draw a lot from Dark Souls and other inspirations. It'd be cool if you create your character like you do in a Souls game and he's your master. And you basically do the same kind of gameplay loop, but you're your own character. And there's also co-op. So you can go into the game just like in Dark Souls or any other Souls game. You can have a co-op partner and that you have your buddy's own co-op or created character planet hopping and taking on bosses and going through the world together would be really cool, awesome. I think. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Playing Old Republic, so...
Sort of like Luke in Return of the Jedi to, what's the name of that movie? Number 7.
Force Awakens.
Yeah, Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Sort of like how we started a Jedi Academy.
Yeah, exactly.
Just went to shit.
I think, if I were a game director, I would at least pitch that to my team to see what they think. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be really fun, personally. That's probably not at all what they're doing, but I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't think Cal was the most exciting or well-developed character. I mean, they did a decent... Like, I think his journey was decent, you know, like it kept me somewhat compelled, but not, it could have been done much better.
I mean, I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, it wasn't necessarily anything that innovative, because he was like, yeah. You know, he was up at the Jedi Temple when Order 66 happened and his master died. And, you know, he has forced conversations with his master and recalls training. And there's some interesting stuff going on there, but it's not necessarily anything we haven't seen from other characters before.
Yeah.
So I very much like the idea of creating my own character in a Souls-like sense and Cal being your master, which I think narratively would totally make sense. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool.
I do think that's unlikely, though. I think we'll have an established character.
Probably.
That's mm-hmm. probably what LucasArts would want, Disney. I'm sure they have the overall final decision on what's being made. But
oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we'll see. But I look forward to hearing more about that. I'm like really eager to hear about it, because ever since we started playing Old Republic again, it made me actually want to go back and play a little Fallen Order. And even Preston recently told me he was replaying Fallen Order.
What the heck?
Yeah, he just said he was in the mood and started playing it again.
It's a good game.
Aside from all those, of course, I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West.
Mm. Realison, how you feel?
It's okay. I ain't going to lie to you, Jacob. I've been kind of bored playing it. And which I don't know if I had the foresight that I would be bored playing it, because at no point prior to release was I actually like hyped for the game. I was excited in the sense that I knew I really enjoyed the first one. I really like Guerrilla Games and I anticipated having some fun with it. But apart from that, I wasn't losing my mind with hype like I do with other big releases typically. So I was kind of lukewarm going into it. And I don't think it was like a negative mindset that's put me in this place to where I'm like not having a great time with it, because I genuinely was, of course, open and excited to see what Guerrilla has done. But I don't think it helps that the opening of the game is very weak, in my opinion. I was shocked at how boring the opening of the game is. And not just like the first hour. I mean, you could probably spend 10 hours in the opening area of the game, but I blazed through it as quickly as possible. And it probably took me like 5 or 6 hours to get through it.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it was shocking at how boring it was. And don't get me wrong, game is so, so beautiful. I mean, in performance mode, it looks great still and runs beautifully, but in fidelity mode, dude, it is just insane what they've achieved visually. It's just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one appreciation. Gameplay, especially in performance mode, is excellent. I mean, it's fun to, you know, shoot the robot animals and like tactically break off the parts and use all your items and abilities and weapons to bring them down. Like, that's still cool. But there's just a lot of tropes in there that are really dragging me down. Notably, the conversations and dialogue are just a little wooden. And the animations are gorgeous. They're much better than they were in the first game. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not interested in anything anyone has to say in the game for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a problem with direction or performance or writing, maybe collectively all three. But I'm sort of ashamed to admit, I told you before we started the podcast, I've skipped a lot of cutscenes in this game. Because I just don't find myself caring about what's happening. Yeah. I know enough to know what the main story is so far, but any side quests, dude, I'm just exhausted by the idea of even playing them for some reason.
That's never a good sign in a single player game.
And I've heard great things. I've heard the side missions are awesome, but I don't think I enjoy the lore enough, and I don't enjoy, I mean, the gameplay's fun, but I don't enjoy it enough to like really go off the beaten path and do other things. So I'm making it sound like I hate the game. I really don't. I've genuinely had some fun with it. Like, I think the platforming is much better. It's not like Breath of the Wild interesting, but it's much better than it was in the first game. Really like the glider, which is also Breath of the Wild inspired, but it's a welcome addition to Horizon.
Is the world interesting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything I've seen in Forbidden West is truly stunning. And there are a ton, and people aren't wrong in the reviews. There are a lot of interesting areas to discover and find loot and valuable equipment. In my experience so far, going off the beaten path and exploring random places has been worth it. But yeah, there's a lot of stunning areas. And the more I play the game, the more I have enjoyed it as you unlock your, or you upgrade your skill tree and acquire new weapons and bigger beasts to fight. I mean, it's a sick game. Don't get me wrong. It just doesn't do enough new things to really get me excited to come back to it. I have to like mentally put myself in the place. I'm like, all right, I'm going to knock out another hour or two of Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Elden Ring, I've barely scratched the surface and I'm dying to go back and play it.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. It could just be a mood thing. I may just not be in the mood to fight robot monsters with a bow and arrow right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I will absolutely be finishing it over time. I just, it is not at the top of my to-do list with games to get through right now. So, and it doesn't help that Elden Ring came out a week after it, which is so funny that Breath of the Wild came out shortly after the first one. And then, of course, Elden Ring comes out shortly after the second. So just a terrible fate that's befallen the Horizon franchise. It doesn't undermine the fact that they are good games, but I'm not loving my time with it so far. So
yeah,
we'll finish it, but I'm not loving it.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's kind of where I stand on Horizon right now. I could break down a lot more, but that's generally how I'm feeling so far.
Well, I do definitely still intend on trying it at some point. Just don't know when that's going to be right now. But Garrett, let's talk about Elden Ring.
Finally. Tell me all your thoughts and feelings about Elden Ring.
Oh my gosh. Where do I even start? So I think this game feels a lot like Dark Souls 3. I mean, it's really just Dark Souls 3 with a open world put on it. Mm-hmm. Like, if we really just want to break it down. Not to like undermine the game and its achievements, but like I think overall, like, to start with a negative, which is maybe not the way we should start, but I think the open world is a little underwhelming. When I've had around 10 hours to really explore a lot of the southern portion of where you start out in the game, and I've gone a little west or east. And then you can't really go much west because you start sort of on a coast. And you can't go much north until you fight one of the major bosses. But the game is gorgeous. I think it's a very good looking game. I think the world is interesting. I just think that it feels a little empty at times. It sort of has the same problem that Pokemon Arceus does, in that a lot of the world feels a little empty. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And it's not even that it's empty, but sometimes it just feels like there's not enough important things to interact with, I guess, or places to go. I mean, there are interesting places to like want to go over to and check out. Like, there's several caves and structures that you want to go explore and like search around and see if there's loot in there. Because if there's loot, I always try to, you know, clear all the enemies and, or at least ride in there with my horse and pick up the loot, you know, even if I'm not going to kill the enemies. But I think where this game really does thrive is there's so many boss fights. Like, there's so many. They're everywhere, and I love it. I haven't actually fought one of the mainline bosses. I think the first one you come across is Margit.
Yeah.
And that dude is, whew, he's tough, man. He probably killed me 30 times.
Yeah, someone made a good point I read on Twitter that I hadn't considered. He's like I said, I've hardly played the game, but mm-hmm. Someone said that it seems like a brilliant design choice for From Software to implement what most would consider a mid-tier Dark Souls level boss right at the beginning. That if people just get their ass kicked, it encourages them to go explore a little bit, level up, and kind of experience the open world and get a taste for it before just progressing onto the next story portion. So I think that's an interesting choice that I actually kind of appreciate.
To combat that, though, I think it's also a risky choice because a lot of people, because that is perceived as the first boss in the game.
Yeah.
Besides, like, the horse dude that you see right when you walk out of the tutorial. Like, you could walk up and fight that guy. He's a boss. But he's, like, I consider him, like, a side boss, like a mini boss. He still has, like, a name and a health bar, like a boss. But he's not, like, he's not in sort of, like, a, you know, like Dark Souls 3 bosses.
Door. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just in the open world. I mean, some mini bosses are in like fog doors and stuff, but like they're just not, I don't want to say they're not real bosses. They're not the mainline bosses. They're not like important to progress the story, mm-hmm. I guess. And Margit is. And he's up in the castle for if people are curious where he is and you haven't gotten that far yet. What was I going to say? I completely forgot what I was going to say.
You like the mini bosses.
Yes.
You have not beat a mainline story boss.
Right.
You felt the open world feels a little empty.
A little bit. But it only feels empty in the sense that there's just a lot of open space with nothing to do in it. Like, I've just gone around and explored like every corners of these land masses. And a lot of times it's just like, oh, here's some mushrooms over here. There's some flowers over here. There's a pack of wolves over in this corner. Like, it feels a little too big, to be honest. and there's not enough content on the landmass. Not to say that there isn't things to do, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting with a negative, just to get it out of the way. But pretty much
While we're on that subject...
I remember what I was going to say. I was going to say that it was risky to put a hard boss at the very start because it might discourage people from playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate, because honestly, like, the first time I played, the first Souls game I played was Bloodborne.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think all of us collectively struggled because we just didn't understand how those games work at the beginning. But having played every Souls game apart from Dark Souls 1 and 2 at this point, I personally have a strong enough understanding to know that, like, that's intentional. But you're right. I mean, it is definitely risky for newcomers. And I'm not like a diehard Souls guy by any means, but I like enjoy them enough to understand what's going on for the most part. You're right. That is risky. So I've heard mixed responses to the game on Twitter, because obviously unanimously critics praise the game. But there have been a lot of players obviously who have jumped in since the review period and formed their own opinions so far.
Yeah.
And there's definitely mixed thoughts. And I have not, I've played enough to, of course, talk about the game so far, but not enough to, like, really grasp the scope of the world and the depth of the world, because I've heard there's multiple areas that just get crazier and crazier as you go on. And I definitely have some stories already from just the first area that I'll be able to share. That's why I wanted to, remain on the subject of the open world for a bit. Notably, I like that the places of faith or whatever, basically the bonfires, are pretty abundant. And I remember reading initially that there would be many that are very close to bosses that, if you get killed, you can just immediately jump back in and try again, which is appreciative.
There is no bonfire that is inconvenient for any boss. Like, mm-hmm. every boss has one that's like maybe a minute walk. Maybe.
That's nice. And I'm surprised with it being a Souls game, how easy it is to get around. Of course, just on horseback running around, but how easy it is to just fast travel all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised they did that. I'm surprised it doesn't cost like souls or something to fast travel. Yeah.
There's so many bosses that you can fight on your horse, and it makes it easier doing so.
What are they called in this game? It's not souls. What are we collecting for currency?
I don't remember.
It's not faith. It's something else. I can't remember. I haven't played it enough to remember. You know what I mean? The currency. But in the open world so far, I've encountered some really interesting caves that have valuable materials, like smithing stones, for example, is one cave I discovered that helped me upgrade my weapon a bit. Just the different enemy types in these small little caves. And then I went into a castle structure that I immediately got killed in, but it was cool to see it heavily guarded. And I assume there would be a boss in there at some point, mm-hmm. including some valuable gear or items to collect. So I'll probably revisit that place and do my best to survive. But the coolest experience I've had so far is just intentionally going off the beaten path to just find whatever crazy thing I can find. And I found one area. This isn't the craziest thing. I'll get to that in a second. But have you found that wooded area where there's giant bears?
Giant bears.
They're gigantic. They're like,
I've seen giant bear.
Like King Kong sized bears.
I don't think so. I've seen like one giant bear where a pack of wolves were attacking it.
Okay, that's cool.
But the bear killed them all.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure
then
he
killed
did.
Me.
And then he killed me next. Yeah, this bear was sleeping in this dilapidated catacomb, and there was a stairway where his arm was like draped over it. I was like, oh, I wonder what's down there. I can't remember what I collected, but there's a treasure chest beneath the staircase. I like creeped around him and went down into the staircase and got whatever was in that treasure chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke him up and he slaughtered me, which is hilarious. But there's been a lot of interesting little moments like that so far.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that you can be stealthy in this game. You have the ability to jump. So I've had some cool platforming opportunities to like really platform up like a big structure and find something at the top has been cool. Sneaking around is helpful when you just want to like bypass a group of enemies. And I also like that they give you almost an abundance of opportunities to refill your flasks. Like not only those little creatures with the balls that run around, but groups of enemies that are intentionally placed around the world that if you kill them, I think you're one of your flasks like recharged by one.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it, like a slurp, but
one more slurp.
Yeah, you get one slurp back if you defeat a group of enemies. So it's always worth it, if you're empty, if you don't have like a place of faith to rest at, or like, oh, I'll just kill this group of enemies real quick. And those battles are pretty fun, like especially when you're surrounded. The only thing that's kind of a bummer is that I know there's different classes that have different special abilities. That's another thing I like, the depth of these character classes. You all have your own special ability, whether it's magic or with a weapon of some sort.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
The arts of war.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you can actually equip different ones as you play. You keep getting new ones.
Yeah, that's great. That's cool.
You find them everywhere.
So I really like that a lot. So there is definitely depth to the character classes, but I still am hung up on the fact that I felt like Sekiro was such a step forward with their combat from that studio that I almost feel like they've taken a step back. I mean, there's depth in like your abilities, but in terms of what it demands from the player at the end of the day, so far from what I understand, I could be wrong about this long term, but for the most part, you're just either dodging, parrying, blocking, and just maneuvering your way around these bosses to beat them and learning their attack patterns. Whereas in Sekiro, dude, you have to straight up battle these bosses. I mean, and it's just crazy, like between your abilities in the game and then having to counter and breaking their posture. That's like the most demanding combat I've experienced in a game like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what made every boss fight infinitely more satisfying than any Souls game I'd played before. In that sense, so far, it feels like combat's kind of gone back to their roots, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I still enjoy it. But I do so far miss what Sekiro demanded from me as a player versus Elden Ring so far.
I understand that.
But still having a lot of fun with it. I think it's really cool. I also like this. I've always been like a sucker for details in games. I like that when you just slaughter a group of enemies, there's just blood everywhere. And even your character gets caked in blood. Yep. It's sick. Really into that.
What's your build? What are you going with?
So you have to forgive me. I don't know if it's Vagabond or Vagabond, but
I think it's, yeah, I don't know.
I know a lot of people consider like that's generic, but any Souls game I've played, especially with Demon's Souls recently, I love just the idea of my first build being like the classic knight character for the most part. Mm-hmm. So that's why I intentionally chose that. But I was really interested in, I can't remember what it's called. It's the cloaked dude with an emblem of a cross on his back with a sword and shield.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his deal was, but I almost picked him. Mm-hmm. But a lot of interesting classes that all seem pretty fun in their own right.
What do you think you're going to specialize in? Strength, arcane?
I'm going to try to do a faith and strength build so I can blend melee doing. And magic.
Yeah.
So a bit of arcane too, because I like to find valuable loot when I'm looting around. But
if you're doing faith and strength, make sure you kill that horse boss that you first see.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll get to him for sure. Yeah, I'm intentionally exploring to level up a bit before I take on really anyone significant.
Gotcha.
The coolest place I've been so far is I found this... what I thought was another dinky little cave. And I go down this elevator into this vast, and it's so beautiful and abstract and bizarre that it's hard for me to fully describe if you haven't seen it, but it's this gigantic cave with like purple and blue night sky, starry skies filling the ceiling. And there's this floating destroyed castle up in the air with these giant cliffs and like bodies of water and lakes and other little mini castles, and it's like, what am I even looking at when I walk in here?
Where was this at?
I can't remember. I'd have to pull up the game and show you. I can't remember.
You need to show me.
I was mindlessly exploring when I found it. Mm-hmm. So I go in here, and there's these extremely deadly enemies that are very slow with these spears. So you can maneuver around them pretty easily, but if they gang up on you, you're dead in an instant.
Yeah.
So a lot of valuable, now I wouldn't say like gear loot so far. I'm sure there will be at some point, but mostly resources that are very valuable I've found. And cool little areas to go off the beaten path and platform to find other little items, which has been cool. But I progressed to this part of the area, this part of this place that's still so huge, where I think there's some objective that, of course, is undisclosed. You kind of have to just figure it out. There's these big pillars you can ignite, and I think there's several leading up to the top of this castle. And I found two of them, and then I found a random portal. It's like, do you want a portal to somewhere else? I was like, sure. So I jump into it, and it looks like it skipped me way up this mountain to the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to backtrack and like find the other pillars. But I think if you ignite all of them, something happens. Mm-hmm. But it progressively gets more and more difficult as you progress up this mountain. So, and this is all in a cave that I found.
That's so crazy.
That's what's blown my mind the most so far.
Yeah.
So, dude, just talking about it, I'm like so stoked to go back and play it because I haven't played it in like 2 days.
Like I've just explored so much. Like I started out going to, like, before I even had my horse, I just started walking west before, like, even fight the horse dude that's after the tutorial. And I just started exploring the coast. I ran into this giant dude with a sword that was just walking up this hill, and he absolutely destroyed me. I was not ready for him at all. So I recouped myself, went back, started heading to the coast, and I got into this fight. There was this, so on the coast, there's this like little bonfire, and there's just one dude that's just sitting there. And he has a sword, and like he's not like a boss, but he's just like an NPC that's a little more challenging than most humanoid enemies. But I managed to kill him very early on, and I got his sword. That was cool. I didn't have enough strength or dex to use it, but I just thought it was cool that he dropped like a unique sword.
Yeah, that's cool. That's the challenge with these games, is that you can upgrade your weapon to be just incredibly powerful, and you can very much play the whole game with your starting weapon.
Oh yeah.
So that's why I'm tempted. I'm like, man, like I've already upgraded my weapon a couple times, just my classic longsword, which I still think is just badass as a knight to have a longsword.
Yeah.
But like you said, there are a lot of cool weapons you can discover. And it's like, man, do I want to find an interesting one and upgrade that instead?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems like the scope of the game, you can realistically upgrade multiple weapons and swap between them, but that's just a lot of extra work.
Yeah. I found a few weapons that I like. So I started with the same class that you did, and I wanted to do a strength build. So I like my character started with a halberd, and I decided to take off my shield and my sword and just use the halberd because I like the idea of using a two-handed weapon. So that's been fun to use for a while, and I've upgraded that a couple times, and I think I put like a faith, art of war on it. So whenever I press L2 on my controller, he like shoots out this beam of holy light at the enemy.
That's
which
cool.
is really cool. And I'm trying, so I've been using that for a while, and I recently just found a war hammer, basically. Just a hammer with a, it's just a giant hammer. So I've been kind of using that more recently. It doesn't have as much reach as the halberd does. So whenever I like get into a situation where I need to like sort of poke enemies and dip out, I'll switch back to the halberd. But I also just, so I've spent a lot of time like last night going south, like to the southern portions of the map, and I found this vendor at this like little campsite, and he had this huge, I forgot what the sword's called, but it's like this big great sword that's like really heavy, and it was only like 5,000 souls. So I was like, okay, this seems really cool, and I want to use like a big weapon in this playthrough. So I bought it, and the sword's awesome. I just don't have enough strength to I do have enough strength to use it. I don't, like, it's, the sword is so heavy that I, like, need to find armor that I can wear while also using the sword because my current, like, I don't have much armor yet, so I have, like, the starting armor still, and with that equipped and the sword, like, I can't roll, I'm fat rolling, so I need to find some other good armor somewhere. So that's, like, my next thing I need to do right now is find better armor to equip so I can use that sword. The sword's awesome. It's fun to use. It has like really slow sweeping attacks, which is what I want.
Cool. This is a two-handed weapon?
Yeah. Nice. Well, I think you can use it one-handed, but
okay.
You can put it in two hands. But I also have a like golden halberd that I want to use, which is what the horse dude drops. It's like the golden halberd that he's attacks you with. And that requires strength, dex, a little bit of dex, and a little bit of faith. So I'm investing a few more points into faith, and I'll have enough to equip that and use that. So it's either going to be that long sword or the golden halberd is what I'm going to use for probably a majority of this playthrough, I think, until I find something cooler. But I could just sit here and talk about all of the places that I've been or all the things that I've fought. Like I fought this isn't really, I'm going to talk about bosses a little bit because I don't really think it's that spoilery. Especially in this kind of game where there's so many bosses, like some of them are just going to blend together because I fought two of the same kind of boss, really. It was weird, but they acted slightly differently. But I fought this dragon in like this open swamp area.
That giant dragon?
Oh yeah.
You killed it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a giant dragon. There's this like big group of like humanoid.
Yeah, because I've been in that area.
Yeah. And he just sweeps in, lands on him, and kills everyone. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I was like already on my horse. And I was like, okay, I bet I could take this guy if I'm on my horse. And he doesn't have that complex of attack patterns, especially if you're on your horse and you can run away from a lot of stuff. So it took me maybe 3 tries and I killed that guy. He wasn't that challenging, but his fire was definitely hard to avoid sometimes. But I figured out a rhythm. I've been in several caves. I've been invaded by these. So I tried to go in this cave one time, and then this NPC invader like booted me off my horse. Like, cause anytime you get invaded, it kicks you off your horse. So you're like, have to fight these guys. I don't think I've been in. I think I've been invaded by a guy one time, like an actual player, and he destroyed me. Like, I was mad. I hate when that happens, because it's always like when you're exploring and like you're trying to find a bonfire or something.
Yeah,
like that always happens to me, and he just comes out of nowhere, and it's like, great, like I'm dead. But I was going to explore this cave, and this dude just invaded me, and then like at the same time a friendly invader came in. I assume it was also an NPC, and it was really cool to like see those systems happen at the same time. Like, I didn't know that could happen. And so with the help of that NPC friendly invader, I killed the threatening invader, and then they both just disappeared. And then I like proceeded to go in this cave, and you know, went through a couple layers, and I found this dude that I thought was a boss fight, but he was really easy. And then you get him down to like 3/4 or 1/3 health, and he's like, "Oh, wait, don't kill me, don't kill me." And it turns out to be Patches, which is in like every Souls game. It's like a vendor, and he's like known as the dude that is always trying to like you shouldn't trust him because he's always up to something. And I did a little research on what he was up to in this game. It's he can trick you, so you got to be careful if you run into Patches. But what else have I been doing, man? Like, I've explored up a little north a little bit. Like, you have to like go across a bridge to the south, and then you can go up north, northeast a little bit, and you get to like this area that's like completely burnt. Like, everything's torched. Like, all the trees are dead. The landscape is brown. And you just see these giant enemies. Everything's like ashen, I guess is a way to describe it. Like, they like, if they hit you, they like put this debuff on you. I don't really know what it is, but I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there because I was barely doing any damage to anything. Now, I've noticed that, like, if your weapons are barely doing any damage to enemies, it probably means you're not high enough level to be there. So that's like a good indicator to maybe go explore somewhere else, which is like the first case, or it's the case when you get to that first boss too, because like my anytime I would stab Margit, I was doing like maybe 80 damage, which is just like nothing to him. What else have I been doing? I've explored several catacombs, just several random boss fights that happen in the open world. I put a key into this little portal, and I got teleported to some other dimension, and I had to fight this dude that put frostbite on you with a sword. He was like an undead zombie. That was interesting. Nice. That's who I fought last night, and I beat him. I'm trying to think of other random things that I've done. Where I left off last night. So and again, in the southern portion of the map, there's like this giant, it's not really a castle. I think it's more like just like a fortress. But as you approach this place, when you get close enough, an arrow, like a huge bolt arrow, just comes crashing next to you. And you're like, oh my gosh, like what is firing these things at me? And as you get a little bit closer, you notice that there's a giant shooting like a giant bow and arrow at you. So you have to like use the terrain as you get closer to avoid him shooting giant arrows at you. So that was kind of thrilling and invigorating. And I eventually got past him, and that's where I sort of left off last night. But I've probably fought about maybe 6 or 7 bosses at this point, none of which have been an actual required boss. It's just been me exploring random areas on the map and, you know, just happening to stumble upon like a golden fog. And it's like, oh, here's a boss fight. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes it's not the golden fog. It's just, you'll just be running around in the world and, oh, there's this ghost in the ship in a river, and you have to stab him. And then he like shoots waves of ghost water at you, and you have to dodge it. Like, it's just random encounters like that. That is, it's just, you know, this game does a really good job of like, it keeps you wanting to explore because you never know what you're going to find. And there's always enough rewards around to keep you interested. And at the same time, like I think it's a little too big for its own self, but you know, I think it has a good balance of, you know, being a Souls game and also having an open world that's interesting enough to keep me wanting to explore more. One thing that I do want to bring up is that on PC, the game has been struggling to run a little bit And I don't think it's just me. I've heard other people.
Oh, you're playing on PC?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm on PS5.
Yeah, yeah, I've been playing on Steam. But people have been having a lot of stuttering and like frame rate issues, which I've noticed that it's not just me. Like, a lot of times when I walk into a boss room, like my game will like lag a little bit. The screen will, like, it'll shudder a little bit, which is a little concerning. And it seems like across the board, a lot of people are having problems on PC. So it just seems like the game wasn't optimized enough. But
yeah, that's a bummer. I've not had any frame drops necessarily, but it seems just slightly choppy from time to time when I turn the camera in the game.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I haven't had too many stutters.
I am playing on controller, though.
Same.
Thank goodness.
I don't know what psychopath would play this on mouse and keyboard.
Some people do, man.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know how you could do it. Anything else you want to say about Elden Ring? There's just so much to
say. I don't think so. I haven't played enough to really comment on much else, but I'm just really excited to get back to it. And that's what's kind of cool about this is that there's so much depth to it and the scope that everyone will individually have just interesting stories to share over time.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like people are going to be on. It's one thing to see people unpack any Souls game over years, but it's going to be a while before we see the full package that From Software has developed with Elden Ring, because it's massive for sure.
Oh, yeah, dude. One other cool place that I went to. So I looted this chest and it was like enchanted and it teleported me. Like, this chest was like under, it was in one of these, you know, like those little broken down little villages that are just like the remains of a building. And like some of them have like these stairs that go down underground and they all lead to a chest basically. And you go down there, you kill the enemies, you open the chest. This chest like teleported me to some other part of the map. And it was like this cave that had these really high level skeletal dudes. And they were all, so if you don't touch them, they don't attack you. Like, they're peaceful. Like, they're just mining or something. Like, they're like, I don't know what they were doing. I was freaked out. So when I first got there, I tried to attack them because I was like, oh, there's enemies. I got to attack them. And they quickly destroyed me. So I was like, okay, I left a lot of souls there. I have to go back now. So I went back, and this time I tried not, like, I just tried to get close to him, and I noticed he wasn't attacking me. So I was like, okay. So I just kept going a little bit, and eventually I got through this little cavern enough to get out of it. I found a what are they called? A bonfire, the faith places.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are.
Is this the currency runes? Am I remembering that right now? The runes are the currency?
Maybe. I don't know. But I get out of this little cavern and I'm like, I come into like the swamp, like rotting area that I had never seen before. And like, it was cool because I could ride through these waters and not take any of the rot damage. Cause you know, like how you get poisoned in these games and like the bar slowly fills up. And once the bar fills, like it like takes your health down periodically until you cure it. So I was able to avoid that. But your horse can die if he gets enough of the damage. He's just like you. So it just gives you like that extra, you know, health bar, I guess, to get across somewhere if you need to. So I spent a little bit of time there, and that place wasn't fun to be in. Like, no area in a Souls game that has like poison or rot is like ever fun to be in, really, because you're always worried about, because you can't even feel comfortable just standing around because, you know, you're always in danger of taking that damage. But in this area, there was this like huge like village slash castle place. And I went up there, and there's like these ghost dudes that like teleport and like disappear. Like, you'll attack them once and they'll disappear, and then they'll appear behind you and try to swipe at you. And these dudes like absolutely destroyed me. So it was obviously a area that I wasn't supposed to be at yet. But I think that's what I really like about this game, is that you can just go in so many different directions. And even if you're not supposed to be there, it's just cool to see how just like the different styles of the areas that there are. Like, I've just seen so many different biomes already. Like, I think the only thing that I haven't seen is like anything with snow. I haven't seen any snowy areas yet, but that might be coming up. I don't know. But I think the game does a really good job of just mixing it up. I think the variety is pretty good. Apart from, there are a lot of just like knights or like, you know,
I don't know if you want to say villagers, but they're just like, I don't know. Like some of the enemies are a little less varied. Like they're a little just typical knights with swords or spears, and then there's tons of wolves. And but I think so far there's been a good variety. It's hard to say. I've only played like 10, 12 hours. So, but I'm having a lot of fun. Yeah. I can't wait to play later.
Really cool game. All that said, for sure. Okay. So I'm thrilled to go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jacob, that brings us to our news. What can you tell us about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet?
So these were announced this morning. They are the new entries into the Pokemon franchise. So new generation. I think it might be generation 9, which is insane that there's 9 generations. They just showed like a trailer, like a reveal trailer. But it basically, it has open environments, sort of like, what's it called? Sword and Shield, the last gen. Like there's going to be Pokemon like you just see out in the wild. Like hopefully it won't just be called the wild area. Hopefully it'll just be like, those are the routes. Like you have to go through them to get to the next town. Like I don't want to have to like go into the same wild area every time you travel to a new city. I just want there to be routes that are different from each other, but also have like Pokemon that you can see out in the world. I mean, overall, I wasn't really too into this announcement. I mean, I need to see more, but I saw the starters and they look a little underwhelming to me. Like the fire one looks like a little dinosaur, which is kind of cool. The water one is a water duck. And the grass one looks like a carbon copy of, well, it's a grass fox, but there was also a fire fox in another gen. I think it was 7 or 8, but it looked a little samey to that one, but that's okay, I guess. No one likes grass starters anyway. Trying to think what else I could say about it. They're called Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet. I didn't really see anything that was like, oh, I can't wait for this game. Like, I gotta play this. I need more info. Like, I don't even know if I'll buy another gen, to be honest. Depends what they do different this time. Because
mm-hmm.
I just felt so burnt and bored after the remake gen of, what was it, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl
that
I played last winter. Like, I was just like, I really need something new to keep playing these, because it just feels like I'm going through the motions of get a party of 6 Pokemon, fight trainers along the way that are way too easy, and then fight gym leaders that should be more challenging than they are. I don't know. They just need to make something different to make me.
Are you still playing Arceus?
I kind of stopped playing. I didn't finish it. Once Lost Ark came out, I haven't really touched it.
Hmm.
But I mean, I'd like to get back to it, but I don't think I will. Not that I didn't enjoy it. Like I absolutely loved that game. It was so much fun. But it definitely had its problems. And I would definitely want the new games, the new generations, to be more like Arceus in terms of its gameplay. It was a breath of fresh air. It was a breath of wild.
Yeah.
That was a bad joke. It wasn't even a joke.
Not totally off base, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, Scarlet and Violet on the way. Of course, I have little interest, but I knew you'd at least have some news you could share with us.
Yeah, that's actually why I was late. I was watching the trailer to this announcement this morning.
Yeah, worth mentioning, of course. Another news, kind of old news at this point, but worth mentioning, I guess. Call of Duty games will remain on PlayStation. That was confirmed, so that's cool, I guess.
That's good.
The 2023 Call of Duty game coming from Treyarch has been delayed.
Ooh, that's big.
So into 2024, which I think is probably a good thing. It'll be interesting to see how they benefit from that. Mm-hmm. So
we're still getting a new one this year.
Right? We are. Modern Warfare, the sequel to Modern Warfare 2019 is still due for this year. So we should be hearing news any day now. Yeah. So I imagine within the coming weeks, we're going to hear something.
Definitely. Well, maybe. Actually, they've been kind of delayed over the last couple of years. I feel like they've waited longer and longer to announce their games. Like, I feel like last year we didn't hear anything about it until late summer. I think I'm remembering that right. I mean, I didn't even play last year was the first time that I didn't play Call of Duty, like, since I can remember. Since, like, probably Black Ops 2. Like, I've played
that's a long
every
time.
Single one since then, which is insane.
I'm impressed. Yeah, I've never missed a Call of Duty. Technically, I have, because I did not play much of Cold War. I mean, I've technically played every Call of Duty that's come out, but played very little of Cold War and also played very little of Vanguard because I was capturing stuff for COG. So no part of me wanted to pick it up after doing that either. So
it doesn't look good. I think a lot of people are just kind of tired of Call of Duty right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Battlefield flopped.
I have a lot of confidence in Infinity Ward with whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, whatever they're doing, I'm confident it's going to be sick.
Mm-hmm. Hope so.
So, I actually do look forward to the Modern Warfare sequel. Another headline that I thought was just hilarious, the way it was worded, was Valve warns tinkering with your Steam Deck could end your life.
What?
They basically said cracking it open to the batteries can basically poison you if you don't handle them properly.
What the heck?
There's a lot of details. Did you say, like, if you're going to tamper with the SSD and everything inside this thing, you got to be extremely careful. So, they actually have a tutorial video on if you're going to deliberately crack it open and try to mess with it, don't do these things because mm-hmm. it could make you sick and kill you.
Oh, wow.
So I just thought that headline was hilarious.
Yeah. You're just carrying something around that could kill you.
Yeah. Netflix announced that the BioShock movie is sort of in development. It's still very much in pre-production. There's no developer or not developer, director or writer officially attached, but Netflix does have the rights to producing a BioShock movie.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, I think it makes more sense to make a, well, on one sense, I think if you had a concise, strong BioShock story, not necessarily the story from the game, but to tell a story within Rapture, within like a 2-hour runtime could be interesting.
Yeah.
But I think BioShock caters more to a series. I think it'd be more fun to explore it throughout a series.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's happening. It also got me thinking, I'm like, if there's any game that deserves to be remastered, it's BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed it hasn't been remastered yet.
Yeah. Was it not?
So, I mean, it's been up-resed a little bit, like performance yeah. and everything over the years, but like a full-on remaster or even like a remake would be sick.
Does it need it? Is it that old?
I don't think it needs a remake, but I'd love to see just drastically improved visuals. I think the art style speaks for itself. It's still a beautiful game, but to see it in like native 4K with up-res textures and stuff could be interesting and like improved lighting and atmosphere and everything, but I'm surprised there hasn't been like a new remaster of it and all this time, kind of like what EA's doing with Dead Space.
Yeah,
give that treatment to BioShock, it'd be cool.
I feel like BioShock is just one of those games that is forever cursed to be on my backlog. Like I just never get around to playing it. I'm never in the mood to play it.
It still stands the test of time, man. It's an excellent game.
Yeah,
dare I say timeless.
Yeah, I played Infinite and I loved that game. I absolutely loved that game, but I don't know.
Yeah, totally different vibe with the original, for sure. But just as good, if not better.
I've always said this, but it's really, really hard for me to go back and play an old game. Like, I don't know why that is for me. Like, I have a really hard time just, like, picking out a game that I want to invest time into that's, like, not new and current. I don't know why I'm like that. Because I always...
I understand that to a degree.
I don't know why, if it's just because I want to be a part of like a conversation that's going on social media or something, or
like yeah, it's almost like you feel like you've taken a step back and like paused progression of moving forward with your life to go back to play an old game.
I don't know, man. But I mean, I've done it before, right? Like I've played old games and I haven't had that issue. It's hard to really digest why I feel this way. But I'd like to say that one day I'm going to play BioShock. But as time goes on and on, it probably gets less and less likely. But I think the idea of a BioShock, you know, movie or show, I guess a movie is what we're getting, potentially, is it could be cool. I think it's a cool universe, for sure.
I'm excited to hear more about that. It'd be a long time till it's out, so
oh, yeah.
Just thought it was cool they actually officially announced it. Mm. Do you see the images of the PlayStation VR 2?
Yeah, I glanced at them briefly.
Yeah, not much to unpack there. It looks cool, looks sleek.
Yeah, see, it seems big still.
I hope they do like demos like they did with the original, where you could just go to like your local Best Buy and try it out. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'll probably buy it anyway.
You think so?
Because maybe I will. Because you'd think at this point, if I really, really loved VR, I would have bought like a Quest 2 or a Vive or something at this point, but I haven't.
Well, I'd say the PSVR 2 is probably better than the Quest. Aside from the part that you can use the Quest to play like Steam games, VR games.
So we'll see. I'm of course going to pay attention to it. And I'm very much considering picking it up. I just, you know, want to see what it's all about prior to, or hear like really strong reviews before I pick it up for myself.
Yeah. Dude, it's insane to me that Pacer on our Discord just he still posts things about VR, dude. He's the only one. I'm a
passionate fan.
I love
it. Dude, much respect. I love that.
He loves VR. I love it. Yeah.
And Pace, if you still listen to this podcast, if you're still with us, I don't overlook those posts. I actually do look at them every week to see what's new.
I don't. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I check it out because I'm genuinely interested in see like the progression and advancement of VR. So
are games getting better? Like I have really no idea. Like,
there are some excellent VR games out there for sure. I mean, I think still notably the most pertinent one is Half-Life Alyx. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton of like really interesting stuff out there that isn't like maybe that advanced technically, but just really interesting ideas explored in VR.
Yeah.
So it's still very much there's still just an unbelievable amount of potential with that platform. So I still hope to see it grow and evolve and improve over time.
A part of me really wants the Valve Index. Like I really want that headset. But then the more sane, you know, mature part of me is like, do I really need to spend $1,000 on a headset? Yeah,
I wouldn't. I would not because I wouldn't play it enough.
Like especially when I'm struggling to pay bills sometimes. I'm like, probably not a good investment. Yeah, just probably keep my rainy day fund intact. But maybe one day I'll get one. We'll see. I need to play Half-Life Alyx. That's the problem is that I need to play that. And I want like a good headset. And so that's why I haven't gotten the Quest.
PlayStation VR too. It could. You never know.
Yeah. And the Quest is a good headset, but like, I don't know if it's like future proof, you know, like I want something that's going to be able to work with a lot of, like, I don't know really its integration with Steam that well. Like, can it only play some games? Can it play everything on Steam? Like, I don't know anything about the Quest. So I'm like scared to make that investment.
I understand that completely, Jacob.
All of these could be solved with just a little research, but I just haven't done it.
Yeah. You're too busy playing Lost Ark and Elden Ring right now. Yep,
exactly.
You got better things to do.
Exactly.
Jacob, that brings us to Ask IOG. Part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media at It's Obvious Gaming, the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel, or email to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. And if you want your question read live on the show, always include the hashtag AskIOG. First one comes from Optic Dragon. Writes in and says, howdy boys. I got a hypothetical for you. You are transported to the Doom universe, where three video game weapons are your taking. Can't be Doom weapons to beat the game. Also, it's almost the 5th year anniversary of me watching y'all, and I just want to say thank you for all the great content, and here's to many more years.
Thank you.
Former Pimp Daddy! Sorry for the repost, forgot to tag.
Thank you, Optic Dragon.
Man, that's quite the change going from Pimp Daddy to Optic Dragon. Wow. It's great to have you here. Thanks for writing in and for tuning in all these years as well. Always appreciate the questions. So, transported to the Doom universe, you can take three weapons, but they can't be Doom weapons to survive. What'll it be, Jacob?
Well, I was going to say... Was it the BMG? No.
Yeah, that's a Doom weapon.
Yeah, I know.
BFG.
Yeah, BFG. I'm trying to think of weapons that people would actually know what they are.
Yeah, I would take a lightsaber.
That's good.
I would take...
Yeah, I would take a lightsaber too.
Probably a double-ended lightsaber. I would take a rocket launcher from Halo. And a Lancer from Gears of War. That covers all my bases, I think.
Yeah, I think it does.
I'm going to forego a shotgun entirely.
Bold. Let's see here. Okay, for probably close quarters combat, I think I might take Illidan's Warglaives, which you probably don't know what those are, Garrett.
I don't.
But they are.
Is that World of Warcraft?
Yeah. They're these.
Okay.
Basically, they are just glaives that you hold. So they have a handle and they like go up the side of your arm. They're like it's like a glaive, if you know what a glaive is. I would use that as a melee weapon. Let's see. I'd probably take the sniper from Halo. So I think the sniper from Halo is... I love using the sniper in Halo because of how it sounds. It just sounds so brutal and powerful. I love it. And then probably for something more... mid-range, what would I need?
Wolverine claws.
I already have something close quarters.
That's true. Mid-range.
So what's a weapon? Can a weapon be something that's not a gun or a sword?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what if I had, like, Spider-Man's webs? Can I do that?
Yeah, I mean, why not? That'd be kind of cool.
I feel like that could cover any basis that I'm lacking in. I got long range, I have close range, then I can just web things.
You can also web zip out of there pretty quick, too.
Exactly. I'm going to go with that.
It's a wise choice, Jacob. I admire that. I think if we played co-op, we would definitely survive together pretty well.
Yeah.
With our chosen weaponry.
Who would win, though?
Our chosen arsenal. You mean like against each other?
Yeah. Like, could you outmaneuver me with a sniper?
What did I say? I have a lightsaber double-ended, I have a lancer, and I have a rocket launcher.
Yeah. Oh, you got a rocket launcher.
I mean, if you're accurate with your webs, you could probably web any one of those weapons out of my hands.
Yeah.
So, or just web me up.
But you could also just cut a web with a lightsaber. If you had access to your hands.
That's true. I think I'd take you on this one, Jacob.
You think so?
Unless you just headshot me with a sniper or 360 no scope me before I can even get to you.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. That 360 no scope you.
Yeah, I'd be done, dude.
I wouldn't even have to 360. I'd just no scope you.
Just no scope, yeah.
Just run up
unless
to you.
Unless I deflect it with my lightsaber.
I don't know if you'd deflect it, but you'd,
with my agile
you'd destroy
speed.
The bullet, right? I don't think you can deflect with a lightsaber.
Yeah, but if I could basically block it with my lightsaber.
Yeah. Then
I could
me.
Blast a rocket at you. How would you deal with the rocket coming at you?
Probably die.
Probably just take one.
I think that'd be it.
For the team. Take it to the face.
I mean, if it gets anywhere close to me, I'm dead. So
it's true.
Nothing's going to save
blast
me.
Radius.
I can't web it up, you know? Oh, that's
you could always web up the rocket and throw it back at me.
Maybe, yeah.
Like in Halo Infinite, you can repulse rockets that are shot at you.
With webs?
I mean, if you just catch the web, or catch the rocket with your web and sling it back at me.
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of like that scene in Spider-Man 2 when Doc Ock throws the money bag at him and he's like, here's your change!
Yeah.
Webs it and slings it back at him. You can do that with a rocket.
That's assuming that I'm like not close to a building or something.
You know, the old return to sender trick with your webs. Could be a stalemate, Jacob.
Maybe.
Unless I just, at the end, blast you with my lancer at mid-range or chainsaw you, one of the two. Chainsaw you and lightsaber
that sounds
you.
Sounds great. I'd love to be chainsawed.
Speaking of chainsaws, the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie is just as bad as people said it was.
I wouldn't expect it to be good.
Yeah, it was not great. I mean, I didn't expect it to be good either, but it's
why is every scary
bad.
Movie bad?
Not every scary movie's bad. I watched...
It seems like every scary movie's bad now.
No, I've seen a lot of good ones. I saw a movie called The Cursed the other day. It was a werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. I was me and one other dude in the theater. I went to see it by myself. And I just like really like werewolves, so I went to see it. And it was pretty solid. Pretty small budget, but a really interesting and fresh take on werewolves that I thought worked. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. Not the best horror movie I've ever seen by any means, but it wasn't bad. I'm very excited for Nope from Jordan Peele.
Oh, yeah?
Really like what Jordan Peele's done. So
it seems like he's one of the guys that's making good ones.
Yeah, his take on horror comedy, I think, is excellent. So, stoked to see that. But Optic, thanks again for your question. Pimp Daddy! Last one comes from Fribes. He says, if you could use a machine that would just make you as buff as you want, but without the years of work, would you do it? No undos or redos. There's no biological difference between your body as built up the natural way or as built up by the machine.
Why wouldn't you do this?
I would not.
Really?
Because I think... For me, working out, that's the thing. When I'm working out, I don't really have a set goal in mind. I'm not working toward like a particular physique. I mean, I desire to have, I want to be strong and work out for the sake of strength, but I'm not necessarily doing it to achieve a certain look. So, and I also feel like the journey of working out is just as important as the results. It's more important than the results to me because working out is more, I mean, for some people, it purely just could be exerting physical energy to just get ripped. But there's a lot of stuff happening mentally and even emotionally for me when I work out. Mm-hmm. That's very, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it right now, but it's just a very healthy experience for me beyond just the physical aspect. So it's very much a journey that I've enjoyed being on for years at this point, and of course intend to continue for as long as I can. So
yeah,
I would not use the machine.
Interesting.
I would enjoy the journey of working toward whatever physique I wind up with in the future.
I think I would, because the gym takes a big portion of my day and I've done it for so long. I've kind of become numb to it. And I've always wondered what it would be like to not work out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what would I do with all that time? You know, like that's...
That or just reduce the days.
Yeah. Like, I'm easily spending an hour and a half in the gym, in the weight room, 5 days a week. So
yeah, that's the minimum I spend when I'm there. If not 5 days, at least 4 days a week.
Yeah. But I would also like, I think if I didn't go to the gym all the time, I would run a lot. I think I would do a lot of cardio. Like I would have to do something.
Yeah, I have to exert some sort of physical energy usually every day.
Yeah. I like the feeling of after you sweat or like do cardio, I like that feeling of, man, I did that. Like I accomplished that. I'm exhausted. I'm excited to eat something now. Like I like that feeling. That accomplished feeling of, you know, having your body worked, you know, above its normal levels. So even if I did have a machine, I think I would still do cardio, if that's okay. Mr. Frimes.
Makes sense to me.
But I do like the idea of like not having to work out all the time.
That would be nice. I get that.
I guess I don't have to.
That's the thing. I'm sure you can relate. Most people can relate. After you work out, if it's a good workout, you just feel great for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's like hard to get in there, though, you know?
Yeah. But once you're into it and you're going, you're like, you're off to the races. And by the end, it's a great feeling.
Yeah. Like I'm having that process right now. Like I'm going to go work out today so I don't have to go tomorrow. And I'm like, man, I just want to be lazy today. But I can't do it.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to just wrap up this podcast and start playing Elden Ring, but
yeah, me too.
Got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never regretted working out. It's been very difficult sometimes to get in there and get going, but I've never regretted it after the fact. Anyway, what a way to end this podcast on our 7-year anniversary, episode 268. It was a pleasure, Jacob,
yes,
talking about games as always. We wish you all the very best playing games and out there in the world, especially with what's going on in Ukraine, as we discussed. We are praying for that situation and hope you all are safe and healthy and well with your friends and family. And yeah, write into us about anything, anytime, whether it's Ask IOG questions or anything going on in life that you just feel like talking about. I'm down for that, especially on Discord is a good place to reach me. Or Instagram, something like that. And we're just grateful for your continued support over the years. Again, we apologize for the delay, but we're happy to be back and very much look forward to the future. And excited to talk about Batman after we see it on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. So, very excited.
It's going to be awesome.
Hope you guys are enjoying Elden Ring. And if you are enjoying it, let us know on Discord. I like talking to people about Elden Ring on Discord. So jump in. Let us know your thoughts. Where are you at? What are you struggling with? How easy is the game? How hard is the game? Let us know. Let's talk about
it. Totally.
But until next time, guys, we will see you on a new episode.
Yes, we will. Later.
Later.